our voices. Born from the need to feel connected to voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacifica Wire, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. Pacifica Wire, from the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer. Though miles apart, we're always near. The same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style, Pacifica Wire. Every voice higher, stories told side by side, on air and online. Tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. PacificaWire.com.
FM 104.6 Pacifica Wire PW Live on a Saturday afternoon. It's very good to have your company with us. We do hope you have enjoyed your weekend so far. The sun is shining. That's always a good thing. And we're very lucky because we've got some fantastic guests in the studio with us here. So make sure you stay tuned. Now, that was beautiful music there from the beautiful island of Tuvalu. And I say that because we've got somebody, we've got a few people in here who are from that beautiful island of Tuvalu. Let me tell you all about this beautiful guest we have in the studio. Now, she you would have seen her this morning if you had tuned into TV One this morning at about 9:30 on Tangata Pasifika. You would have seen her. If you switch on your radio during the week on the national broadcaster RNZ, you would hear her voice as well. She is a veteran in broadcasting and journalism. She has done it all. She is an award-winning producer as well, and she is very heavily entrenched in our wider Pasifika community and the Tuvalu community. Who am I talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about our very special guest, Marama Tipole. She is in the studio with us. Talofa, Marama.
Talofa, Gladys. It's a real privilege to be here today on your show, Pacifica Wire. Thank you for inviting me.
It is so good to see you. And it's also good to see two very handsome young men that are with you in the studio.
Oh, boys, we're talking about you. I've got with me my youngest two boys, young men. I've got Te Pai, who is 7 years old.
Te Pai.
And also Te Gale, and he is, how old are you, Te Gale?
Six.
6 years old. Oh, you guys are so old.
But so, mum's forever eternally young.
Bringing my tribe along, my sidekicks to a very solo ball, which we can say in Tuvalu, and like, at your side. So, glad to be here today on this show. Thank you, Gladys.
No, thank you. And boys, it's so good to see you. By all means, wave. Say hi. Hi to everyone, because they're seeing these young, handsome men also listening here. So if you're tuning in, we're really glad to be with you. And Marama, it is great. It is a family show, you know, and everybody in this room you have worked with before. Gary, Lissa's worked at PMN as well, so we're all connected.
My dad always said that. We are all connected.
Absolutely. And that is what it is all about, connecting our voices. So, yes, Gary's waiting for me to say the punchline there. So, again, great to be with you. Marama, how have you been? Pretty busy.
Wow, gosh, yes, things haven't really stopped. I'm just trying to think exactly where to begin. But, yeah, it's full on, and I think juggling, you know, life as you do, and I've got a growing family. I've got, these are our youngest. We've actually got six now.
That's six. Like, hey,
'cause you knew I had four kids.
Right.
So Bolle and I have just adopted two more.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's just overwhelmed with joy, really. So they're my husband's brother's two youngest, and they're actually teens, and they've come over from the islands. They've been living in Fiji, but they're Tuvalu, and it's been quite an incredible journey just to have them in as part of our family. And you know, there's something about teenagers that come from the islands, so humbling, right? They're so grateful and humble and gracious, and anything I'd ever heard about teenagers, how difficult it will be. But honestly, it's just put everything on its head, and they're just absolutely amazing children to be in our home. So it's been an amazing experience. It's only been with us 3 weeks so far, and
right,
I'm sure there'll be, you know, humps along the road. But yeah, it's been just absolute joy having them add to our family. I always wanted a big family, and boy, it's just happened. So yeah, it's an amazing place.
That's exciting. And you know, speaking of your, you know, growing family, you're part of the bigger, wider media Pasifika family in this country. You're a veteran, Rami. You've been around for a long time. Tell us, when did you get the itch to this is where I'm going?
I wanted to be in either acting or in media, I think, when I was younger. And then But actually, when I was five, I was watching the news. I've probably told the story before, but with my mum, we were looking up at the TV and there was a presenter. And I said to mum, I want to do that one day. And she said, why do you want to read the news? And I said, because she's wearing a different dress every day.
So, I like that.
Yeah, we were brought up in Dunedin, you know, and I have a very Scottish Balangi mum, very prudent, so I think we were dressing in the same clothes a week. But anyway, you know, there's something in the blood, I think, when you're in broadcasting, and later on in when I started off at the New Zealand Broadcasting School studying radio broadcasting. And I remember when I was 16, when we were in, I was in Timaru actually in high school, and I used to listen to this amazing newsreader on the radio, and I used to think she was on a national network, and we'd listen and I would copy her, and she would say, and I'm Neva Retimanu.
Wow.
She was on Port FM in Timaru at the time, and I would copy her as a 16-year-old, and I would say, I would copy Neva, and I would say, and I'm Neva Retimanu. And there's something about that, hearing this woman, and I didn't know she was someone in Timaru until much later as well. So yeah, I went off to broadcasting. My first job was actually in Auckland, Radio 531 PI. Specific, but such a hearty and rich community station, much like Planet FM 104.6, in terms of just having those really strong roots to our communities.
Mm. And, you know, I've talked about it before with you, Marama, and I've shared it with Alyssa and Gary, but we actually have a connection that goes back to the South Island. Your beloved father, your beloved great-grandfather, grandfather, I should say, the late Reverend Mahil,
that's right,
Papal, he was the videographer for your auntie's 21st, Emily.
And a wedding. And a wedding as well.
And wedding. It was Emily and her lama's wedding. So, in the 80s, your dad was the videographer.
Now, I hear, so my dad would go and video. At that time, no one really had, few people had a video camera.
Exactly.
And there were these really big, heavy cameras on your shoulder. And so he started videoing all the weddings, all the Samoan 21st.
Yeah.
And we have a Children's Day every year, which is called White Sunday, Lotu Tamaiti. And in Dunedin, there's actually quite a few different Samoan churches, yes, even back then in the 80s and 90s. And he would go and film all of their Samoan services, White Sundays. And I heard that he did, I think he did one of your sister's weddings at Otago.
Yes, he did. That was in the 86, think, 86, Emily and Elama's wedding. And we've actually got shots of you guys.
Yes, it's so funny, I'm a bit embarrassed.
Going to have to dig that up.
My dad was regularly panning to us as kids. Anyway, it's a bit embarrassing.
But it goes to show, it's in your blood.
It's something,
isn't
there,
it?
Right?
This industry, it's in your blood. And like you said, you've went through, you know, New Zealand Broadcasting School up to 531, and you've stayed in it. What is it? What is it that you love about this industry?
What I love about the industry is, I think, how it's our stories and connecting with our families and our people and everything, music, language, heart, you know, that connects us. I think that's the lifeblood that's kept me in this space. I've just absolutely enjoyed sharing and telling our stories. And I was with Radio 531, I think, for about four years, and then went on to New FM for 2 years, and then to Tangata Pasifika. And still involved.
Yeah, still going strong. And now, of course, isn't it funny, now you're one of the voices on the national broadcaster, RNZ.
That's right, reading the news on RNZ. So it's a real privilege to be in this space. And that was one of the things that always drew me to broadcasting, was to see our faces. You know, if we don't see ourselves, you know, visible, whether it's on screen and our stories in film, on the mic, you know, hearing our voices or language, you know, I think it's a real loss to our young people, not seeing people who look like us in those spaces. So I felt that very important from young age when I was in Dunedin growing up, and not seeing anyone who looked like me until, I think, do you remember the show Life? Was it Life? What was still Life? No, I'm trying to remember. Stephanie Tawevihi.
Yes.
What was the name of that
TV
show?
In the Fridge.
Life in the Fridge. And she was a reporter.
That's right.
It was one of the first times I saw someone who, wow, someone who looked like me. And here was this Nguyen young youth reporter on there. And then later, Catherine McPherson
yes.
on What Now. April Yeremia was presenting on sports on the on One News. And, you know, now we have so many who are Pasifika, you know, doing incredibly well. And Dara Stewart. I'm just thinking of so many other women and men who are representing Daniel Faitzawa, and also behind the scenes as well, as editors, producers, directors. You know, we've come a long way. And then just thinking about, you know, Tina, this wonderful movie that's hit our screens.
Yes, surpassed, just, hasn't it?
You know, people
at the box
have just
office.
Owned it and loved it. So I love that.
And speaking of, you know, a long way, when I must admit, admittedly, I never knew much about Tuvalu, but you and a fellow queen, a fellow Hawangi, really did educate us on Tuvalu, and of course the wonderful advocacy around climate change, and that continues, doesn't it, for Tuvalu?
Yeah, it's a big issue for Tuvalu, and when you go back home and see it with your eyes, Tuvalu is one of the lowest lying whenua in terms of, the highest point is actually 4 metres above seawater, right? So it's quite incredible to see on the coastline, you see the visible difference that has happened in terms of the change in the coastal lines and people not being able to grow food the way we used to. We have a plant back home, a root crop. You have taro in Samoa or Fiji, but we have pulaka, and in Tuvalu, that root crop is now getting harder to grow that because of this, the salinity and the salt water in the soil. So we're just having to adapt, whether it's you know, raised garden beds in terms of trying to grow our traditional crops.
Mm-hmm. And you must be quite proud to see, like, at a world stage, the advocacy that Tuvalu has led the way in the climate change, but also you've got a very strong Tuvalu community here in Auckland, don't you?
We do. We have a very strong community here. So it's a small country, like back home it's less than 10,000 people there now.
Gosh.
And over here it might be around a couple of thousand, 4,000 perhaps, that live here in New Zealand. So, yeah, we're a strong community, even though, you know, it's, many of us have migrated here perhaps 20 or 30 years ago. It's so important for us to keep our culture alive, I think, in this space as well. That's been important.
Speaking of important, Nick, you're used to being on this side of the mic as well, on the screen as well. You have interviewed so many people, and this morning I saw you interview Opitaia Fawai, the winner of the Lifetime Achievement Award at the PMAs. And just like you two both talked about how important it was to tell those stories through music, and doing full circle, because of course you used to play his music all the time on 531.
I know. Actually, I got really emotional towards the end of the interview. I decided to give him a whawhetu, which is a traditional Tuvalu necklace. And I just felt, I want to give both him and his daughter this and acknowledge the huge contribution that he's given to our music. I suddenly started welling up with tears, and I was thinking about so many things. My mind went back to when he came to our Radio 531 PI studios. Now, it must have been in the 90s when he had first put out an album, and he came through, and he was living in Langholm at that time and shared his music with us. And then I remembered when, I think, his second CD came out, and the manager of Radio 531 PI, wonderful Tongan mentor of mine, Sefita Haole, he said, "Come here, Marama, come into the office." He put this CD out of this envelope, and it wasn't labelled in terms of, didn't have the proper, you know, actual
right.
words, labelling on it. It was just written with a black marker on this plain CD, put it in. And then out of the the speakers came pate pate, you know, and it was, wow, it was just incredible to be hearing that. Hearing my own language, hearing that coming through in these beautiful songs, and then now to see them embraced with Moana, Moana 1, Moana 2. Mm. I watched it on the airplane the other day. Mm. My son is doing the Moana production at his intermediate in Te Aroha 2, and I see other schools doing Moana. I'm like, wow, you know? I was singing a Wumbawe in the jungle. And here's my son doing Moana, and our music really touched me.
Mm. No, that was really powerful to see. And like I said, you have spoken to so many people from all different walks of life. Has there ever been an interview where you've been like, pass?
Pass?
Is there anyone that's pass. Just irked you a little?
No, I do think of things where it has been difficult for me to do. I think the hardest interview was probably Title Philip Field when he was going through the court system. There was that, and you know, when he first came in, he was the first Pacific MP, and we'd been interviewing him, of course, every week on the radio at 5:31 PI, and then having to sit there as he went through that trial, and then talking to him afterwards, talking to his family when he was sentenced and had to go into jail, and yeah, it was very difficult to be able to talk to them and see the pain for them, for their father who had been, you know, so esteemed, I guess, in the community, and then to go behind bars for what had happened as well. Other stories, I'm trying to think. There's been so many incredible stories.
Yeah, and I think it's good to notice that people don't often realise that it's hard for us too, especially when we are part of the community. As soon as we hang up the mic, it's not just, oh, we just go off on that. We're quite entrenched in the community, and I know you very much are. So, yeah, sometimes I think people forget that.
Yeah, I think it is a small community, and you are all connected, right? But I think it's so important that we do tell those stories thoroughly and properly as well. I'm just thinking about all the magical different stories over the years. I'm just thinking Suluape, the tattooist.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember talking to him. And
I'm getting the signal that the boys are ready to, you know, partake in some, you know, of their own research.
I don't like my kids on the phone, but my 7-year-old has just given me a signal to, if he can please.
Absolutely, boys.
By only because I'm on the mic.
You got mum at a good time.
Go out there, you can have some. Yeah, you're not left.
See you later, boys.
Oh, my life.
Oh, and they, yes, they know how to open the door there. Well done. See, this is the world we live in. This is how it rolls. This is the Pacific way. I love it. I love it.
Family.
Family
trudging
first.
Along with you everywhere I go, at meetings. Oh, my goodness, everything. Yeah, I always bring my kids along everywhere. But, yeah, what were we saying just before that?
So we were talking about some of the highlights and the not-so-highlights when it comes to talking to different people in our community.
Yeah, definitely. That is a challenge. But, I mean, you want to tell every story properly for your community, and the community deserve to hear that. I think, I'm just thinking of this, the stories that always stand out for me. On Tangata Pasifika, there was the Magic Circus of Samoa. And they came to Mangere, and I'll never forget, it was probably about 17 years ago, or maybe it was longer. Wow. And there's a circus in Samoa, and this ringmaster, he was this very larger-than-life ringmaster.
Bruno,
that's right, Bruno. And he would bring people from all over the world to be in his circus. So he had Kiribati men. Well, I remember they were in their Tarzan, I was going to say swim trunks. So, and they were doing all these acrobats, and there was this beautiful small woman Now, she wasn't a dwarf, it was a small woman.
Yes.
I'm just thinking.
I remember.
Then there was this Samoan man. He had gone to Argentina or somewhere, to South America, to find this woman. He was out to find a partner for this Samoan dwarf who was in the circus, and he wanted to find a partner. He went to South America and brought this woman back, and they became a couple.
Oh, so they were a couple, because I remember seeing that. Did we go see that show? They're a couple.
Wow. They travelled to Tahiti, the circus, and then in Tahiti, you know how they have the weddings and they carry the bridegroom and the bride on their shoulders on a waka. And so they carried them on the waka across the water and to each other as part of a traditional Tahitian ceremony when the circus travelled to Samoa. Anyway, I will never forget that story. It was just one of the many, many amazing stories that I had the chance to share.
Have you ever thought of writing a book, Marama?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I think I've kept all the receipts.
Because I reckon you got a story to tell.
Yeah. No, I just so many fond memories of, you know, when you're filming our stories, you know, someone said to me, and telling our stories, whether it's radio, print, or you know, social media even, or television, we're actually documenting history, you know, and that opportunity to go to Tonga for these, you know, important, you know, funerals or coronations, everything like that we're bringing to our people, but we're documenting our history. So, yeah, it's been a real privilege to be able to watch those things unfold in our community and to be sitting right there to witness it.
And witness that you have. What's a piece of advice that you were given when you first started out that still resonates with you?
There's so many, right? And I think of today, Opidai is saying, be true to yourself. And I think that's important, knowing in yourself what you were meant to do, what resonates internally is maybe a God-given passion or purpose that connects you. You've got to have something that you know is your purpose, that you're meant to be doing, you know, whether it's for others or using that natural gifting, you know, and develop it. Mm-hmm. And always in terms of faith, someone said to me on my 21st, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord. He'll take you places never imagined. And I look across my career where I, you know, just had the amazing opportunity to travel to so many Pacific countries and talk to amazing people as well, and I really feel that's definitely something that's worked out. So, yeah, going to give God all the glory for everything that has happened throughout my life where I can definitely see His hand on it.
And you are, you know, developing the next generation. So what words of wisdom have you imparted on some? Because I know that many would be asking you.
I think I would just take it back to that in terms of being ourselves. I always think about my children and just tell them that first of all, not to worry about what anyone else thinks. I think that's really important to not walk in with that kind of chip on your shoulders, you know, just to walk in knowing you are. I think often a lot of Pacific people or children, youth, might think they're not as good as others, you know. And my dad always brought us up to think you are as good as anyone else. You're going to have to try twice as hard sometimes to prove people otherwise with their own bias or judgments. But you are as good as anyone else, and just to step into that space, owning that for yourself.
But, I mean, just listening to you, and I'm thinking about owning that space. South Island, you know, living, you know, in Dunedin, Invercargill, where I grew up as well. There wasn't a lot of our Pacific community, but it was tight-knit, hey? Do you have really fond memories of that time?
I do. I was born in Dunedin, and my dad had come from, he was in Samoa as working as a young man.
Right.
When he met my mum, who had gone there to work as a nurse in Samoa, and then brought him back to Dunedin, where she was from.
In the deep south.
And he had a lover. My grandparents had never seen a lover and a man, and all these different things that he was about, you know. We went to First Church of Otago, which was a Presbyterian church.
Right.
had a Samoan service in the afternoon, a Cook Island service at 11:30, and Bailangi English-speaking one in the morning. And this church was so beautiful in terms of sometimes we'd stay for the Cook Island service, yep. And as this young Dunedin girl, I was, you know, hearing these beautiful Cook Island singing. I don't know if you've ever heard the traditional singing in a Cook Islands church, but wow, the men are doing these really deep bass notes and, you know, sounds that you just don't hear in Western yeah. music, right? And then the women, their shrill of their voices going high, and they all come in together with this loud chorus, and it was just like, you're sitting in the Scottish Gothic, like Presbyterian, you know, a tall steepled church, but you're hearing these Cook Island songs. It's quite incredible. Then the Samoan service afternoons, and it was all in Samoan. I couldn't speak Samoan, but you're growing up around that and hearing that. And then White Sundays, we'd have to wear all the white, the red ribbon, and all those traditions, you know, and these aunties and uncles, you know, we're so close. And then it's quite interesting, two generations or one generation later, all the children of the Samoan congregation all end up marrying the Cook Island congregation. So you got to be Samoan Cook Island mixes in the yeah. First Church and Island community down there. But yeah, really close.
Yeah. Would you ever consider moving back down there?
Hell no. Yeah, oh my goodness, I thought when I first moved to Auckland, my Tongan colleague at Radio 531 PI, Lawani, she was like, oh, it's so cold, right? And you know, she had, you know, she had no I think I had like no socks on, and you know, the open sandals, and I was just like, this is weather for a barbecue if you were in Christchurch or Dunedin, you know, Los Angeles. Yeah. You know, no, this is good. This is good. I'm staying.
Yeah. Well, no, Gary and I went down to Macargo, I think 2019, and I was like, I can't believe we lived here. It was like Antarctic, and I thought, I used to think, oh, this weather's nothing. But I mean, Alyssa, you were born down in Invercargill, and you know, it's. It's part of us, but, yeah, politely no. Love it.
Yeah.
We'll always be home, but, yeah, it's too cold.
It's funny, though, I know a lot of our Pacific community that are moving down there.
Yes.
And are starting a new life for themselves down in, whether it's Christchurch. Oamaru has the largest Pacific community in Oamaru is Tongan. The second largest Pacific community in Oamaru is Tuvaluan.
Okay.
It's a big community down in there. And I'm thinking of also Invercargill. They've got the Kiribati community growing down there, Dunedin. And many of our Tuvalu are also now have been for a while moving down to Christchurch.
What's the attraction, do you think?
Definitely getting out of the rat race. You know, you can actually survive down there. Whether it's less fa'alavlave. you know, there's kind of, sometimes culture can be a burden, people feel, and to get away from those obligations culturally. But, you know, people buy their first houses and, you know, and they're not stressed, you know, in terms of trying to make rent or make the bills stretch. People are actually thriving. And, you know, we didn't come here, I think, to be just getting by. The dream of our fathers and grandfathers to come to New Zealand was one for prosperity. And I think if your navigation journey, you know, shows you finding yourself in Christchurch and you love it, and many of the community there, they do love it. I say, what about the cold? And they're like, nah, I love it. So yeah, it's interesting. And there's strong communities down there. They're really vibrant, yeah.
And they're doing amazing things. And I see a lot of it on social media. And speaking of the introduction of social media, you've seen it when, you know, you were dealing with tapes and reels, and now it's the good old phone and everything that comes with that. What are your thoughts in terms of the movement of social media with Pacific? Have we we've adapted well to it, would you say?
Our people are right there, you know, in terms of give our people a camera and they're filming everything, whether it's 21st or funerals and everything. You know, we'll paste it up there, right? A chance. I guess with mainstream media, our people have always been on the fringes, whether it's, you know, odd times when it's hard to watch our shows or not being given much of a time slot at all, short hours on TV or whatever. Even if you have a language show, it's always on the fringes, right? It's after when it's dark or whatever. And here we can take charge and tell our stories and put it on prime time, whatever you want, you know, being right to your audience. So it's taking charge of the narrative.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of taking charge of the narrative, we'll be back very shortly with our very special guest, Maramati Pole. And as we said, she spoke to the legendary Kitai of Hawaii from Te Waka. So we're coming back. We're going to get Marama's final thoughts right here. Alamangoto. It's Planet FM 104.6, Pacifica Wire.
I hope to fall for a lifetime, a promise made by this heart of mine. Hold the line, no one day I will come for you.
You don't know what it's like for all your hopes to rise, to see them fall again. The setting sun, in my heart, you're the one. I know one day you will come for me. I will come for you, we'll grow old forever, together in love, to stand around the calm, following love's found. It's just you and I. Never let you down. I will never let you down.
Just you and I, you and I.
Planet FM 104.6. That is the unmistakable sound of Te Waka and Alomangoto. Oh no, correction, Tamahana. I'm so sorry. And it's right in front of my face, Marama. See? I'm showing my age. And as we said, we're very fortunate to be in the studio with our very special guest, Marama Te Pōle. We've been talking about your journey, your career, your family, your life, and I just want to talk about your amazing work, because you are one of the top newsreaders for RNZ. So is it Monday to Friday? Tell us, where can we listen to you?
I'm on afternoons with Jesse Mulligan, and I read the news on his show. So yeah, it's a real privilege to be there. I love being on afternoons with Jesse, and we have a good time, and it's great banter, and also great interviews as well. So it's a real privilege to sit there and be in that space, and newsread as well. It's such a craft, so I'm still working on that. Forgive me for the stumbles and mistakes, I'm getting there. When I first came about 4.5 years ago, oh my life, some of the Balangi words, I was just like, because I've only worked in Pacific media, and then crossing over to do you know, Balangi newsreading, I was like, oh boy, I think I would say it with the island, my own island version, Tuvalu version of the Balangi word, Pakeha word. But yeah, it's been awesome, and I've really enjoyed it in terms of trying to polish the craft of reading. And you know, certainly I've got people to look up to in that space, Nicola Wright and so forth at RNZ, and Neva Ritumanu as well, yeah. Who's, you know, obviously been a leader in the industry in terms of a newsreader as well.
And you guys make it sound so easy, but it's not. Like you said, it's a real craft. So can you tell us some of the tricks of the trade that you do just to prepare in terms of getting your voice ready and those bulletins? Because I know you got the scales.
I'm making a face. Well, I should sit up, actually. open your mouth. Well, you know, just in terms of speaking clearly and letting your natural sounds sound really whole. Open your mouth properly. Open it wide. Open it well. Diction, of course, is so important. And for news reading, just to be able to tell the story. So I'm not the spotlight, but it's more I'm trying to make sure that people can just hear that story. And I'm trying to just focus on that as I'm telling it.
For you, the transition from working in Pacific media into mainstream, was that quite easy to do?
I think for me, I will always be Pacifica. So even in those spaces, sometimes you'll see stuff that will just, raise a flag for you, and I'll also question it. I'll say, look, is this supposed to be like this? I'll just ask if there's something which I feel, you know, perhaps is missing, or I'll just bring it up. And I think that's important, that we have voices in every part of, you know, a space like a station, to be able to just input into it. You know, if we don't have Pasifika journalists or editors or producers, and we only have one lens, you know, we're going to have less of our own talanoa, I feel, in that space. So it's important for us to have more Pasifika journalists to be able to come in and share stories as well.
You think we're getting better at it?
I think so, but, you know, I think the turnaround that's been in the industry, you know, many people would be thinking, why would I bother going into that space? So that's a threat, I think, to journalism in terms of where the industry's at. But we'll always need journalists. We'll always need people to tell our stories. So, yeah, I just hope that people will still, if that you feel that's the fire in you to be in that space, that they will continue to come forward, and there will always be room for you.
You've still got that fire going. What would you say to someone who's listening, watching you, and thinking, I want to do that one day? What would you say to them?
Chase your dream. If that's you, you can do it. You'll be here. You'll be doing it one day. You're just keep refining your skills and the opportunities will open for you.
Have any of your children indicated to you, Mum, I'm coming into that industry?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Tionge, my daughter, always has followed me for a few years at many stories I was filming for Tangata Pasifika. And but I don't think so. I'm trying to think. My hell's good with words. Right. He's off on the Scrabble next week.
Yes.
We're going to Malaysia for the world champs for Scrabble. And so he is good at words, but I think he has something else in mind.
Scrabble. Now, I'm intrigued by this because I did see a story. How did your son get into that?
Yeah. My mum loved Scrabble. She's over 80 now. And my dad, my Tuvalu dad, who, you know, he wasn't fluent in English, but he would try and win against her, and he was competitive, and he would pore over their dictionary for hours to try and get some more points for whatever he had on his rack. And he ended up being as good as her at Scrabble.
Wow.
Passed away in 2019, and at that time, just coming into COVID, my son was 8, and then Mum wanted a partner to play with every day, and he would come home from school, she would corner him to come over and play, and then he would be looking in the window and asking to if it's his time to play, and she was getting him to, you know, if he'd win, he would win money. So, yeah, it was great. And then he got bored and didn't want to come and play with her. And then I thought, oh, flip, he needs to continue and join a club. So we put him in the Mount Albert Scrabble Club.
Oh, nice.
It's the only club in Auckland, would you believe? I thought that was quite interesting because you'd think there'd be more clubs in Auckland, but yeah, they're closing shop. Many of them don't have enough people to join.
Okay.
It's mostly an older crowd, but oh, they're so lovely. And Hal was the youngest at his club here in Mount Albert, actually.
Right.
And in the Asian, African, and the Southeast Asian countries, it's really popular with young people.
Right.
Yeah. So in New Zealand, it's, I guess it's, you know, just, it's not so much with our young people.
And that's exciting. And he's off to Malaysia next week.
He's going to Malaysia on Tuesday, representing New Zealand, which I still think is amazing. This guy is ripping New Zealand.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm proud of him because he's this little Polynesian boy and he's playing Scrabble. And the other thing is, it's beautiful watching his relationship with the older people. He has this really, they have a real close bond with each other. They're real friendships. And, you know, one of them passed away last year. And so they told the club there's going to be a, her funeral. And then he said to me, Mum, you know, I'm going to, you know, this lady's funeral. And I said, are you? Okay. Since he can't drive, I'll be taking bereavement leave. So
right.
I had to take him, and it was half the club, half the little chapel was filled with the club, you know. There was this Polynesian boy and myself. I was thinking, man, they're probably looking at us thinking, who's that boy? And so I went up to them afterwards when we were having, you know, cucumber sandwiches or whatever, and I said, just to let you know, my son is was in the club with your mum. And they said, how old is he? I said, at the time he was 11. 11. And they said, oh, we know, we've heard of him. You know, so it was very sweet. Yeah.
Gosh. How long's he going for? How long's the trip?
About a week, yeah. 3-day competition against people all over the world, young people. So I was thinking he was training at home and studying.
Right.
But he's playing some kind of Brawl Stars or something. That's not what you said you were on my computer for, but anyway.
And really just like, you know, you're growing their interests, they're getting into, you know, following your lead. And if you weren't doing media, what do you think you'd be doing?
What I think I'd be doing? Oh, gosh, that's a good question, eh? I love the arts. Yeah, I love the arts.
Because you play a big feature, especially with our Pacific Creative Arts Awards. They're coming up this year, aren't they?
Yes, coming up this year in November, and it's such a wonderful space. So, And I've been involved with our Tuvalu Mamas in terms of, because people outside of our community have never seen these incredible bright, for example, our textile craft art. It's like so fine and intricate, similar to Turkish crochet. And if you're not in the Tuvalu community and don't go to Fatele, a traditional dance and a feast, or church, lotu, you would never see it. So I'm just wanting to take it out of the silos and the, you know, treasure, the chests that sit in the bedrooms of our families, and bring it out to mainstream. We even went to Invercargill last year. We've been to Ashburton, Whangarei, the Douse in Wellington, and here at Object Space in Auckland, and just really wanting to share our art with the world, with the community. And it's about, I think, bringing the bridge, you know, a bridge together for the rest of the, you know, New Zealand, the wider public, to come and step inside our world and see what it's like.
And you've given us a little bit of an insight to today. Last word, Marama, it's yours.
Oh, my life. I think one word, taumawhai. That's what my dad always said to me. He wrote it on the inside of the Tuvalu Tusitapu, the Bible. He gave it to me. He wrote, taumawhai, try. Try your best. That's what he always used to say to me. I just got to try. Whatever it is that comes before you, don't think you might fail. Just try. Give it a go, and you never know what will happen.
Well, something very special has happened here this afternoon with Marama Tipoli, our very special guest. Marama, it's been good. I'm looking forward to reading your book. We've decided writing your book.
Girl.
You've got stories. You've got stories. And make sure you listen out and for the full interview with Marama. It's been a pleasure. And it's a pleasure to work alongside you as well. Always learning so much.
Thank you, Claire. And with you as well. I love you so much. And Gary as well. So it's been a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been great, and great to meet your sons as well. I'm looking forward to hearing more about Mahel and Scrabble. That is us on Pacifica Wire, right here. Here's a bit of Justin Wellington. Planet FM, much love, Marama, and to all of you, have a wonderful Saturday. 104.6, it's PW Live, connecting our voices. So far.
We gather here today, to give love to those good ones that helped us on our way. Cause oftentimes we're tough, but you didn't budge, you stood beside me all the way. Hey, you looked at me, you smiled at me, you believed in me. To your brother,
much love.
To my friends,
much love.
To my mama,
good love.
Come on, yeah,
much love.
To your brother,
much love.
To my friends,
much love.
To my mama,
good love.
Oh, hey, so lucky to have you there, to have someone who really cares. Cause you're my best friend, and I really, really want to thank you, oh, so it's to you, yeah.
Ooh, say, yeah. If you ever need me, I would never hurt you, you know you can trust me, come on, man, come on, man.
Say, say it again.
If you ever need me,
all right.
I'll be there to help you, you don't need to worry, come on, man, come on, man.
Oh.
To your brother, much love.
To my friends,
much love.
To my mama,
good love.
Come on, yeah,
much love.
To your brother,
much love.
To my friends,
much love.
To my mama,
good love.
Oh,
friends.
Much love
to mama.
Good love.
Come on, yeah.
Much love
to your brother.
Much love
to my friends.
Much love
to my mama.
Good love.
Let me hear before my mama.
Good love.
Let me hear before my sister.
Good love.
Let me hear before my brother.
Good love.
Cause I love you, father.
Good love.
Just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. I just dropped.
Come on. Yeah, Court Brown, Zen.
Girl, I really wanna know your name. Tell me that you are the same. You're looking like the kind of girl that I want. Imagine that a girl so fine will fall for any old guy. I promise you that I'm your type. Ooh, you're so fine, so fine.
Ooh, you're so fine. You've been all my mind, keeping me addicted to your love.
Got me addicted.
Ooh, you're so fine. You've been all my mind,
keeping
me everything. Girl, won't you be mine?
Maybe we can spend some time on the phone. But if you wanna be alone, it's alright. Whatever it is,
whatever it is,
just give me a sign.
We'll take it slow.
And I'll never lie, it's fine. Girl, you're so fine.
You're so fine.
I can't believe you got me so addicted.
Yeah, hey yo, what's up, beautiful? What's happening with you? Can I get the 7 digits to smack down with you? It's all good, but you playing that potential mistress. Played out and laid out. All for the money, went the wrong route. Listen up, hon, I ain't gotta play them games. This ain't junior high school, and drooling my name. I'm used to flipping out, giving the game, spitting the flame.
I can't keep my mind up. You know I can't
keep what you're trying to do.
Nobody would do. Can you tell me
what you're trying to do?
Won't you, girl?
You're so fine, you've been on my mind.
You really
blow my mind. Let me be, let me be.